Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited's first quarter 2026 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, to Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2026 earnings conference call. The company results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Jiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Zhen Nanmiao, CMO of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, CFO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Tao, CEO of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Jiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
一季度组件出货量为 13.7个G瓦， 位列行业第一， 其中超 80% 的海外出货。截至 2026年一季度末， 我们成为了行业首家全球累计出货量超过 400G瓦的组件企业， 其中非服系列组件的累计出货量约 240个G瓦。 一季度在行业供需格局改善及海外需求推动下， 组件价格环比四季度有所回升， 经营业绩较四季度大幅改善，毛利率环比提升至 8.3%， 净亏损环比收窄。
In the first quarter, total module shipments reached 13.7 gigawatts, ranking first in the industry, with over 80% shipped to overseas markets. We closed the quarter as the world's first module manufacturer to surpass 400 gigawatts in cumulative deliveries, and also became the industry leader with our Titan U series, contributing to approximately 240 gigawatts to that total. Module prices rebounded sequentially, driven by stronger supply and demand dynamics, especially from overseas. This improved our operating performance sequentially, with our gross margin increasing to 8.3% and our net loss narrowing.
近期地缘政治搅乱对部分航线造成影响，短期内对我们的物流成本和交付节奏带来一定压力。但地缘冲突强化了全球对能源安全的关注，我们也看到来自工商业、居民及电力客户对关注解决方案的持续增长。 4月17日， 国内主管部门就规范光伏产业竞争秩序做出了进一步部署，强化高质量发展的指引， 有助于推动行业供需关系逐步优化，促进竞争回归理性。面对市场变化，我们持续优化排产及区域布局，并与客户保持着紧密的沟通与协商。随着行业竞争秩序的逐步修复以及我们高功率产品的逐步放量，我们认为组件价格有望保持相对稳定。同时，顺应全球电力需求增长和能源结构向轻体化和分布式转型的趋势， 我们也在积极推进分布式市场的布局，进一步拓展多元化的细分应用场景。依托这些布局，叠加我们深厚的技术积累和品牌优势，我们将持续提升在全球市场的竞争力。
Recent geopolitical disruptions have impacted key logistics lines, adding temporary pressure on our shipping costs and delivery schedules. At the same time, these disruptions have increased the importance of energy security globally. We are seeing growing momentum among industrial, commercial, residential, and utility customers to adopt a solar plus storage solution. In addition, regulators in China outlined further policy guidance on April 17, strengthening regulations on competition across the solar industry to support its high-quality development. We believe these measures will help improve supply and demand dynamics and support a more rational, competitive environment. In response to market dynamics, we continue to optimize our production pipeline and the geographic mix, and remain in close communication and negotiations with our customers. With the industry competition gradually normalizing as we scale up our high-efficiency Titan U series, we expect the module prices to remain relatively stable. We continue to grow our footprint in the distributed solar market and are further expanding into diverse niche application scenarios that align with rising power demand globally and shift towards cleaner and more distributed energy systems. These trends, combined with our deep technological expertise and brand strength, will allow us to continue enhancing our competitiveness in the global market.
截至一季度末，我们的三代产品量产功率达到655瓦到660瓦。 三代产品的产能已具备一定规模，并将持续释放。预计到2026年底，650瓦以上的三代产品产能将超过40个吉瓦。随着高功率的产能在下半年逐步爬坡市场及规模效应显现，成本结构有望持续优化。
By the end of the first quarter, average power output for our Titan U, the third generation Titan U series, reached 655 watts to 660 watts P, and we continue to ramp up our capacity. We expect the production capacity for this high efficiency series with power output above 650 watts P to exceed 40 gigawatts by the end of this year. As capacity gradually ramps up and generates economies of scale, in the second half of this year, we expect the cost structure to continue to improve.
一季度640瓦以上的高功率产品出货量占比环比提升，接近25%，并实现一定溢价，体现了我们通过持续技术迭代和产品升级所形成的差异化优势。同时，宁波铜技术的量产导入持续推进。
In the first quarter, high-efficiency products above 640 watt increased sequentially and accounted for nearly 25% of the total shipments. These products also command a premium, reflecting the differentiated advantages built through our continued technical iteration and product upgrades. Separately, we continue to make solid progress in the mass production of silver-coated copper technology, where our pace and scale are leading the industry.
储能业务方面，一季度储能出货量约1.42个吉瓦时，其中520兆瓦时左右确认为收入，相较去年同期有大幅增长。 其中欧美等海外高价值市场占比较高，市场结果持续优化，毛利率环比提升。 由于部分项目的收入确认存在一定周期，对利润的贡献仍有待释放。 2026年，我们将持续优化储能产能和供应链布局，聚焦高价值市场，推动业务规模及与盈利能力的提升。预计2026年储能系统出货量同比实现翻倍以上的增长，成为公司整体盈利改善的重要驱动。
In terms of our ESS business, first quarter ESS shipments on a POD basis reached approximately 1.42 gigawatt hours, with around 520 megawatt hours recognized as revenue. A higher contribution from high-value overseas markets such as Europe and the United States supported a more optimized market mix and drove a sequential improvement in our gross margin. Because of the time lag in revenue recognition of some projects, profit contribution has yet to be fully realized. In 2026, We will continue to optimize our ESS capacity and supply chain footprint and focus on high-value markets to drive improvements in both scale and profitability. We expect the ESS shipments to be more than double year over year in 2026, enhancing our profitability profile and contribute meaningfully to our overall bottom line.
话题交给Jenna之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2026年底，我们的一体化产能将达到100个G瓦，其中海外一体化产能是4个G瓦，2026年全年逐渐出货量在75个G瓦之间。高功率产品的出货量占比将达到60%以上。2026年的第二季度，逐渐出货量在14个G瓦到16个G瓦之间。我们将持续强化技术创新和产品竞争力的优势。 深化全球化布局，加快光储系统发展，提升运营效率，推动公司盈利能力的逐步改善。
Before I turn it over to Jenner, I would like to go over our guidance for the second quarter and the full year of 2026. We expect annual integrated production capacity to reach approximately 100 gigawatts by the end of this year, including 14 gigawatts from overseas facilities. We expect the module shipments to be between 14 gigawatts and 16 gigawatts for the second quarter of 2026, and between 75 gigawatts and 85 gigawatts for the full year 2026, with high-efficiency products accounting for over 60%. We will continue to enhance our technological leadership and product competitiveness, deepen our global footprint, accelerate the development of our integrated solar plus storage strategy, improve operating efficiency, and drive gradual improvements in profitability.
Thank you, Ms. Li. Total module shipments were 13.7 gigawatts in the first quarter. We capitalized on opportunities arising from demand shifts in overseas markets by leveraging our outstanding global sales network and product competitiveness. Non-China markets accounted for over 80% of our total shipments over the quarter, mainly from Europe, Asia-Pacific, and emerging markets. Shipments to the United States accounted for about 4%. For the full year, we expect overseas markets to remain our primary growth driver as domestic demand faces temporary pressure while overseas demand grows steadily. The proportion of high-efficient product shipments continue to rise sequentially. This included the deliveries of a small amount of 3.0 products. High-efficient products command a premium of approximately $1 over conventional products. With capacity of Tiger Neo 3.0 series gradually ramping up and being released, we expect high-efficient products shipments to account for over 60% of total shipments for the full year. To address the increasing scenario-based nature of PV demand, we launched a series of specialized products in the first quarter, including anti-glare, fire resistance, dust resistance, and AIDC modules. These products are designed to target premium and high-specification application segments. With more demanding requirements so far, the products have been widespread market interest and positive customer feedback. This will further strengthen our premium positioning and market reach as we continue to build on years of accumulated technology expertise and advantage in product performance. Global computing power demand continues to grow. Data centers are becoming a major new category of power consumption. To address this shift, we launched a full scenario PV plus energy storage solution tailored for AIDC, which provides all-weather renewable energy security for power demands requiring high reliability and continuously expands the boundaries of PV applications. Recently, we have made significant progress in our strategic markets. For example, in the Middle East, we supplied our high-performance Tiger Neo modules to a world-leading solar plus storage benchmark project that integrates energy and computer applications. This further validates our competitive advantages in large-scale project delivery and global service capabilities. With deep market insight and disciplined, efficient execution, we are confident we will continue to capture opportunities for market and industry shifts. By continuously enhancing our technologies, products, and brand strength, we will continue to deliver high performance, high reliability solar plus ESS solutions while continuously growing our market competitiveness.
Thank you, Jun. We're pleased to report steadily improving financial results, driven by our high-performance products and expanding footprint in high-value markets. Gross profit increased by 17 times sequentially and fourfold year-over-year, while gross margins expanded by 8 percentage points sequentially and 10.8 percentage points year-over-year. Operating loss margin improved both sequentially and year-over-year. As we head into 2026, we are focused on improving our operating performance, optimizing our asset and liability structure, and maintaining healthy operating cash flow to enhance our resilience against the risks. Looking at our first quarter results in more detail, total revenue was $1.78 billion, down 13% sequentially, and 11.5% year-over-year, driven primarily by lower solar module shipment volumes. Gross margin was 8.3% compared with gross margin of 0.3% in the fourth quarter of 2025 and gross loss margin of 2.5% in the first quarter of 2025. The sequential and year-over-year increases were primarily due to the higher average selling prices of solar modules. Total operating expenses were about $233 million, down 51.5% from $473.6 million in the fourth quarter last year and 36% from $346 million in the first quarter last year. The sequential decreases were primarily due to the impairment of long-lived assets in the fourth quarter, while the year-over-year decrease was primarily driven by lower expected credit losses in the first quarter this year. Total operating expenses accounted for 13.1% of total revenues during the quarter, compared to 18.9% in the fourth quarter of 2025 and 18.1% in the first quarter of 2025. Operating loss margin was 4.8% compared with 18.6% in the fourth quarter last year and 20.7% in the first quarter. Excluding the impact of changes in the fair value of convertible notes issued by Jinko Solar in 2023, changes in the fair value of long-term investments and share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net loss attributed to Jinko Solar Holding ordinary shareholders was about $79.6 million in the first quarter, compared with $119.8 million in the first quarter last year and $147.4 million in the first quarter last year, representing the significant improvement both sequentially and year-over-year. Net loss attributed to Jinko Solar Holding ordinary shareholders was $67.2 million in the first quarter, compared with $214.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2025 and $181.7 million in the first quarter of 2025, improving significantly both sequentially and year-over-year. Moving to the balance sheet, as of the end of the first quarter this year, cash and cash equivalents were $3.3 billion, compared with $3.28 billion at the end of fourth quarter of 2025. AR turnover days was 128 days, compared with 94 days in the fourth quarter of last year Inventory turnover was 142 days compared to 75 days in the fourth quarter of last year. As of the end of the first quarter, total debt was 6.85 billion compared to 6.72 billion at the end of the fourth quarter of 25. Net debt was 3.5 billion compared to 3.4 billion at the end of the fourth quarter of 25. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. First one is just on margins. I was wondering if you could give us your outlook for margins for Q2, 3, and 4. You just hosted your Q4 call, and your Q1 margin came in much better than expected. So I was wondering if Q2 should be at a similar level or if not, maybe better. And then what's your sense for Q3 and 4? Thanks.
Yeah, Philip, this is Charlie, and the Q4, the gross margin jumped a lot quarter by quarter. And it's a combination of the efforts we are trying to push up the price as well as optimize the cost. And looking to the second quarter, we expect it's relatively stable because we're still facing, we need to manage the impact from the old orders. But looking to the second half year, given our new capacity, new high inflation capacity platform, is going to deliver, more and more percentage, as well as we, optimize the cost structures, and we expect the gross margin in the second half year will jump, compared to the first half year.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Next one for me is on your full year guidance of 80 gigawatts. The run rate in the first half is 14 gigawatts. So then you might need more than 25 gigawatts on a quarterly run rate in the second half of 2026. Is this expected to come from, this growth in quarterly run rate from 14 to 25 gigawatts, is that expected to come from market growth? Or do you think you take share or maybe another source? Thanks.
Yeah, I think, the first half year and each quarter we get roughly 15 gigawatts. And the China, the market is relatively soft, right? And given last year's were very high numbers. And on top of that, a lot of projects in China is expected to be implemented in the second half of the year. And but for the market out of China, we expect relatively, in globes. And so back to your questions, and we guide 75 to 85. And I think the first priority is for us is to improve the gross margin profitabilities, and we will be more selective on top. I think that one of the factors we are more confident in for the shipment is we get a very, very strong demand for the Tiger Near 3, the next generation TOPCon products. And the second one is we believe we're relatively good positions to take the market shares from our peers. So it's a combination. But back to your questions, and we are, second half year, we definitely will have more shipments for first half year. And it's a relatively higher shipment. but we are quite, you know, flexible in terms of range, 75 to 85, and we expect to get more customers from the next generation TOPCon customers and get more market share from our peers.
Great. Thank you for the detail. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Actually seeing a quite strong momentum in the ESS business on the company. Would like to know if there's any updates on to the order book the company has on ESS and the regional split or anything to share, because I'm seeing in the results that RESI ESS is also quite strong in Europe. So wonder if there's any updates on ESS. Thanks.
For the ESS, definitely we are expecting more, you know, business opportunities in the Europe, particularly, you know, the impact from the Middle East conflict. And in terms of the global mix from different regions, we are trying to minimize the China exposures. It's roughly 10% to 15%. So the remaining part, 85%, it's a combination of, you know, the first target markets in Europe, as well as we have, you know, relatively good targets for the Asia Pacific regions and the Middle East and Latin America. And we also expect some, you know, shipments in the U.S. as well.
And it's still, how's the margin profile in across these regions?
In Europe and U.S., and it's relatively higher, it's over 20% in other regions, and it's relatively lower, and I think roughly 10 to 15%. And in the first quarter, we deliver 60% gross margin. I think we expect a continued challenge from the higher material cost. So combination-wise, we expect to we ship 10 gigawatt-hour shipments this year with roughly a 15% gross margin.
So this has already factored in the increasing lithium carbonate costs, right? The 15%
yes,
gross margin guide.
Yes.
Understood. So so switching gear to solar business. I would like to know what was the view of the company on the FEOC compliance and also on the Section 232 investigation on polysilicon.
I think 232. We don't know what exactly the timetable, you know, the policy will come out. But we have, I think, you know, separate independent suppliers from polysilicon to the manufacturing wafer cell module. So if, you know, 232 come out, I think we have plan B and to deal with the situation. And so your first question is talking about long field, right, in the U.S.?
Yes, on field as well.
You mean the supply side or the manufacturing side?
How confident is the company to get the credits, and at the same time, are your clients confident that using Jinko's product will also enable them to get the ITC as well?
Yes. I think, you know, for the In the next 2 years, I think that there's a lot of demand for the FEOC modules because of safe harbor, you know, regulations. And at the same time, and we have manufacturing in the U.S., and we expect to convert to non-FEOC and joint venture manufacturing very soon by the end of second quarter. and it's highly possible the joint venture, you know, the majority of the newcomer is going to expand the capacity as well. And from the supply side, we have several, you know, non-failed cell, more solar cell manufacturing suppliers in different regions, out of China, out of the Asia Pacific regions. And so we are confident for the shipments in this year, as well as we try to build more resources and to have a good foundation for next year.
So the JV partner will be known by end of second quarter, which is basically 2 months from now. And is it a U.S. player?
It's an investor, you know, non-China investor. It's, you know, definitely compliant with the OBBB, you know, regulations.
Understood. So, but we will know in 2 months.
Yes, yes.
Understood. And is there any plan for capacity expansion? And speaking of capacity expansion, there is quite some concern on the export of solar equipment from China. So wonder if what's your view on that? Like,
yeah, there's I think in the news and in the popular media, there's maybe possible, you know, some kind of export restrictions, and but we didn't get a final, you know, confirmations or any signed documents. And but in terms of while I'm talking about the capacity expansions, and they could be go through the merger acquisition existing module capacity in the U.S. So I think I think the joint venture is not looking for very big expansions. It's doable through other ways.
Understood. So, and switching gear to space-based solar. So, wonder if the progress on that front, like, are there any products dedicated to AI data centers in space, and are there any relevant updates on that part of the business?
I think our RMT team has do some kind of preparations also for the, you know, for the solar panels, depending on different technologies like the silicon, like the perovskite gate, and we made some progress on the silicon-based technology for space testing, and our target is by the end of the second quarter we can get the example ready, and it could be work with some, you know, space companies to do the testing.
Understood. So there will be so the panels will be launched in satellites and be tested in Q2.
It's not determined, but it's going to, you know, it's we are trying to explore the different plan, but definitely, you know, when you do some space-based solar panels, definitely we try to test in the space.
Understood, that's clear. So my final question is, what's your view on the demand second half, because the demand now is quite weak. So wonder if you are expecting any policies or any signs that demand will recover in second half on solar?
Yeah. So from demand side, we expect the current slowing down in Q2 or early Q2 is perfectly natural because of the rush hour by end of Q1 has pulled in a lot of demand from Q2, right? So everyone tried to get a benefit for the last minute rush before the China VAT policy change. So I think that the slowing down in Q2 is within the expectations. But we still are looking into the whole year demand, especially for second half. We are still kind of optimistic. I think three reasons behind it. One reason is because after the recent conflict in the Middle East, you know, we heard a lot of you know, the energy security topics, right? So solar or wind, BESS can provide more energy securities. Many countries put that into a national strategy. So that potentially trigger more demand. And secondly is because of the rising demand from AIDC topics, we see massive upcoming projects combined between renewables and AIDCs all over the world. And the third important reason is because of the, we call it the CNI or distributed generation, market demand is still very robust. And we can feel a very strong demand from that perspective. Many, like the even in the emerging market, the CNI sectors, DG sectors demand are pretty solid and robust for the even for the whole year. So combine everything together, we still expect a healthy or at least a solid demand in the second half. That's from the high levels. If you break into details, because of the strong demand in China in last year, we believe the China demand will drop roughly 20% compared to last year. But if we talking about the non-China demand, we can see a roughly 10% increase year over year. So combine everything together, I think it will be roughly 5 to 10% demand decrease in 2026 versus 25. But if you look into the seasonalities, the second half definitely will be stronger than first half.
Understood. That's very clear. Yeah. So I'll pass on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhary from Sunsara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call, my question. So my question, the first question I have is about average selling prices. You have mentioned that that prices are stable in the going into the second quarter versus the first quarter. I want to get your sense on how the second half pricing is going to be. And also, you know, you have been doing a lot of product development, focusing on higher energies or a better positioning of the product in terms of market segments, like trying to aim for markets where there's a lot of dust, for example. So you have been positioning, segmenting the market and trying to bring out products for these different use cases. My question is, does this allow you to get better pricing than the market on average? And could we see your average selling prices actually be inching up, you know, both because of high performance as well as from because of market segmentation as we go through the year? That's my first question.
Yeah, Sanjeev, thank you for the question. And thank you for your insight. Actually, that's our target. What you're just saying is exactly what we're targeting at. But nobody has a crystal ball to know the future. So we're working hard. On one side, there's a strong government push in China, try to have the whole that industry get rid of or get out of from the price competition. Another way we are looking into is we try to target the customers and the business at a value-added perspective instead of, you know, price competition perspective. So in that case, we hope we can, you know, work with the scenario of a steady, healthy market prices. Actually, if you take a deeper look into the prices recent days versus the price in Q1, you can feel that actually even the policy change demand is weak in Q2. Actually, the market price is not dropping as many people expected, right? It's really because of, you know, the manufacturer side has suffered so much, and nobody would like to sell at a huge loss making. Another reason is really, you know, the market itself, the market demand itself is still capable to absorb the higher prices. It doesn't have to be a price competition. We could make the market competition more healthy way instead of a number game. Yeah, back to your question. I personally, I'm optimistic about the market prices in the rest of the year, and hopefully it would remain at a healthy range for everyone.
Great. Thank you. And my second question is about costs. You know, as you're pushing towards the higher value-added products, does that automatically mean that your costs will also be higher, or the costs are going to keep on coming down because you are just getting better and the scale is getting better in terms of the size of the business?
The high inflation product like the NIO3 definitely is going to generate more profitability and gross margins. You're talking about scenario-based product, right? That is what we are trying to build in different use for different scenario like AIDC, like agent task or whatever, and the channel penetrations, which will definitely bring, you know, I think additional profitabilities. With, I think we are upgrading our capacity to the next higher inflation products and the cost with the scale, economy of scales, the cost will be optimized as well.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. With that, we conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.